Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Our special guest is our new friend, Paul Goldner. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's an author, speaker, and entrepreneur. His sales and motivational programs have energized audiences throughout the world. He's a frequent speaker at the American Management Association and a member of both the National Speakers Association and the Toastmasters. He's the author of two books, which I am the now proud owner of. One of them is his first book, which is called Red Hot Cold Call Selling, which we will get him back to talk to us about another time. But I wanted to talk about the new book, and that's Red Hot Customers, how to get them, how to keep them. And I also happen to know that Paul was a very successful small business owner, actually still a small business owner, but he has a good success story to tell us about his small business and how he got started. Paul, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Jim?
All right. I'm doing great. It's good to have you here, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. Take about a half a minute and tell us about the early days when you decided you want to be a small business owner.
I always knew I wanted to be a small business owner. That's what my whole family had done, and that's their history. And so I started my career at Price Waterhouse, spent 4 years there.
As an accountant?
As a CPA, yes.
Mm-hmm.
People find that an interesting mix, but that's another story. And then what I did was in 1983, I left to start my own company, which was a computer training company, and we started that business on $3,000 in working capital, which you know that I had to actually borrow from my parents to get started.
What did they say? What did your parents say when you asked them for $3,000?
Well, they're both entrepreneurs, and they had been in their own business their whole life, so that was just a natural extension. It was kind of funny because my father said a lot more when I first told him I was going to business school, and he had to pay for it. So that was more painful to him than me starting a company, because he said, "What do you need to go to school for to learn how to run a business? All you have to do is run a business, like I do."
He didn't receive my
advanced education too well.
He didn't understand all that sophisticated stuff, right?
Nope.
Well, let's go back, and I want to talk about the early days. Tell us, I want my audience to get a little bit of an understanding about this guy who wrote this book. And I like for them to know when the authors, and folks, my audience knows, Paul, that most of the authors I bring them are people who know what it's like where the rubber meets the road. These are not people who are orbiting around up above us in some other orbit, some higher orbit than we are. Most of the people that I talk to on the show are real folks just like you. But I want you to take a minute and tell us about the early days of your company.
Well, the early days were kind of funny because I always tell an interesting story with the $3,000 that we had. I had a partner, and we had to obviously go out and rent an office space in New York City, and once we did that, that's where we started. We found that we didn't have enough money left over to furnish the office so that both of us could have a desk and a chair and a phone to sit at. And so it was kind of funny because the first day when I showed up for work and we opened up our office, my partner had beat me into the office.
Oh, yeah. So he had the seat.
Well, that was the thing. Everybody thinks he wanted the seat. What he actually wanted was the phone. And the reason being is that he wanted to be the person that took all the orders as they came in.
And which the phone rang off the hook that first morning, didn't it?
It didn't ring off the hook at all, but what was funny was I thought that was a brilliant idea because we were both Pricewaterhouse CPAs and we didn't really know anything about selling at the time and running a business. And so what I did was I got in earlier than him the next day, and then the next day he got in earlier than me.
Oh, that's funny.
And pretty soon we're getting in at 5 o'clock in
midnight
the morning.
Midnight or something.
At which point we noticed the phone wasn't ringing.
Right. And it definitely, in New York City, it definitely doesn't ring at 5 o'clock in the morning. I can tell you that from personal experience. But the other thing that's kind of an advantage of only having one desk, chair, and phone with two partners is one of you, if you can't sit down, you might as well be out selling.
Yep. But that's exactly what we learned is, you know, we thought that the phone was going to ring automatically because if you think back to 1983, we were in a good business. And mm-hmm. 1983, the PC had just become popular, and Lotus 1-2-3 was the big spreadsheet program, and that was really the start of the PC revolution. If you will.
I bought my first Macintosh in 83.
There you go.
It wasn't my first computer, but it was my first Macintosh.
And here we are in the computer training business. So, you know, you can almost say there's a perfect example of being in the right place at the right time.
But
we were in the right place at the right time, still nothing was happening.
But having opened a brand new business, did you think that there was going to be some subliminal message going out over the five boroughs that you guys were opening? Here's your phone number. Or something?
That was our belief, and so we thought we were going to be successful just because we had a good idea and we were, you know, a bunch of nice guys.
Good guys, yeah. Oh yeah.
Good guys. And that I found is perhaps the biggest problem of a small business owner is that your success doesn't come automatically. And in my new book, and I know you wanted to talk about this, I always talk about the three traits of all red-hot sales professionals.
Yes.
And to me, those are the fundamental tenets for business success and selling success. And the first one is that you have to be proactive in the creation of your own success, which means that if something's going to happen out there, it's got to be up to you to make it happen.
All right. What are some things that we can do to be proactive?
Well, there's a lot of things that you can do to be proactive. One of the things that I always do, my business is obviously a business-to-business. I'm a professional speaker and sales trainer, and I do training programs for companies. And so I spend a lot of time on the telephone. I make every single day between 20 and 50 outbound calls a day. I send out a newsletter to every customer and prospect on my mailing list once a quarter. Believe it or not, I send them in the 2 months of the quarter where they're not getting a newsletter. I send them these great postcards, just keeping them aware of other things that I'm doing. One, for example, one is based on my new book. One was based on my public seminar programs. And so I'm always staying in touch with them. I do a fax broadcast every week so that people know that. I do a web, I have a very active website. And I was just on a TV show the other day talking about how to project a global image for your small business using the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So websites, I think, are a must. And any small business that, can really get involved in the web for a nominal cost, of possibly $2,000 or less. Just to get started, you're not going to have the most sophisticated web page in the world.
But at least you'll have a URL that somebody can link to and find out a little bit about you.
Absolutely. And then what I always recommend, and this is really key for small businesses, is don't go out there and compete with IBM on day one, because you're not IBM. But what you can do is start with a very simple website and then add to it as your business grows, which is exactly how my website grew. I got in at an extremely entry level, and then it's grown and grown and grown, and now we're redesigning it to accommodate its larger size.
Here's a little fact from the most recent Wall Street Journal, Paul. Half of all small businesses have internet access, and about 20% have their own website, according to a survey by Bank One. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's growing and growing, though, more and more. Stand by, Paul. We've got to take a break, folks. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paul Goldner is our special guest and our new friend. He's the author of Red Hot Customers, How to Get Them and How to Keep Them. And Paul, when we took the break, I was talking about this statistic that I picked out of the journal this week, about that 20%, only 20% of small businesses have websites, which I thought that number was low. I thought there were more than that. I think you probably did too.
Well, I'm surprised that only 20% of the small businesses out there would take advantage of such a great opportunity. And so that's the perspective that I look at that from, because the barriers to entry to getting a website are really not that significant. So.
Absolutely. In fact, you said $2,000, and I agree with you. I mean, I think that would be like the maximum. You might could do it for less than that.
You probably can
do it for less than that. But the thing is, think about this. Here's a statistic, Paul. If you're a small business owner out there and you're saying, I don't think I need a website, let me throw this statistic out. This is something I've mentioned in the last couple of 3 weeks, and that is a statistic that the UN came up with.
Mm-hmm.
They found that there were 178 million people online today in the world. Did you know that number?
178 million, and that's only a small fraction of the world's population.
Guess what they're projecting it to be by the year 2001? 700 million people will be online in 18 to 24 months.
And now, every one of those could be your customer.
Does that make you want to go out and have a website or what?
Absolutely. Every one of those could be your customer. And even in my business right now, which is professional speaking and sales training, what we're going to be rolling out later this year is an internet-based TV station for sales education.
Absolutely, that's great, and that brings everyone together. And I'd like to hear more about that. Keep me posted on that, Paul. Let's move on. Let's continue to talk about three traits of a red hot sales professional. And number two in your book is called Think Strategically.
This is a fun one because I learned this when I started my first business. The computer training company in 83. It was kind of funny because we were the first player in the marketplace, and so we actually didn't have any competition in the beginning, and so all we really had to do was show up at a customer and ask them if they wanted to buy some computers. computer training, and it's either a yes or no thing. But obviously, when you're doing well, there's going to be competitors that enter into the marketplace. And once that happened, customers started asking us a funny question. I'm sure every one of your listeners can empathize with this. They started to say, with all the options available to us in the marketplace, why should we do business with you?
Mm-hmm.
And when I found
that was probably a little insulting the first time it happened, was it?
It was extremely insulting, especially being a CPA and not having an answer to the question. So, the first time I heard that, I looked at the customer and I just said, that's a great question, and I have no idea what the answer is, and I wound up getting up and leaving.
I mean, well, at least you're honest about it now.
Yeah.
Of course, you can look back now and laugh about it, but it wasn't
funny when you're...
It was embarrassing then, wasn't it? Yeah.
So,
I bet you felt threatened, didn't you?
Very threatened.
Yeah.
Very threatened. And so what I learned, and this is a well-documented fact, is that most sales take place after the fifth call, and most salespeople quit after the first. And they always say salespeople quit due to the fear of rejection, and I think that's definitely part of the formula. But I also have learned in my career that most salespeople don't know what to do on the second call, third call, fourth call, because you imagine you call somebody up and they say they don't want to buy from you. Then on the second time you call them up and you say, hi, it's me again. The last time I called, I really didn't want to sell you something, but now I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what do you say on the second call, third call, fourth call? And my feeling as a strategic thinker comes up with new angles to present to the customer. They're not always saying the same old thing. And in both of my books, I have an entire chapter devoted to this concept, and I call it the concept of developing your company's five unique selling points, your five greatest strengths in the marketplace, five answers to the question, why should I do business with you? And so this way, since most sales take place after the fifth call, you have the ability to go back to your customers a second time, a third time, a fourth time, and present them with a new angle for doing business with you.
You want to give us what those five are?
They're different for every company.
Okay.
You'd have to look at your own company and decide what your five greatest strengths are. And so, for example, one of our five greatest strengths is that we offer a very broad offering of products so you can get all of your sales education from one company. So it's effectively one-stop shopping. That would be a real good example of it. Another good example of it might be that you're first to market with new products in your industry. Another good example of it might be, for a small business, they're going to get personalized service as opposed to working with a large company. They're going to, be treated just like another number. And
mm-hmm.
So you have to look at your own business and say, what are our five greatest strengths in the marketplace? And then those are the five reasons that you lead with why others should do business with you.
Well, another thing in the second through the fifth contact that you make, it doesn't have to be a sales call, so to speak. It could just be another contact where you make contact with them and make the opportunity to sell them something available.
I mean, absolutely, but you still have to avoid the idea of being redundant.
Exactly. No, I agree with you. Stand by. I have a question about that when we come back. It's 29 after the hour, folks. Paul Goldner is our special guest. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our new friend, Paul Goldner, the author of Red Hot Customers, How to Keep Them and How to Get Them and How to Keep Them, and his earlier book, which is a bestseller, called Red Hot Cold Call Selling, Prospecting Techniques to Pay Off. And, Paul, you were telling me that one was recognized as one of the top business books.
Yeah, when that one came out in 1995, that was selected as one of the best business books of the year, and since then it's done very well for me, and like you said, today it's a bestseller on Amazon.com. It's probably one of the five best sales and marketing books worldwide in terms of volume production.
In addition to Amazon.com, and I'm assuming we can get the new book, Red Hot Customers, there too, where else can you get the book?
Well, there's two other channels. Number one is you could go to a local bookstore and purchase it there, and then the other channel would be you can order it directly from us and get an autographed copy.
And maybe a little bit of a discount?
Discount if you would like.
Okay.
How about 10% if you mention the show name?
Hey, we would like that.
Okay.
My audience knows I'm always trying to save them money.
Okay.
You can buy wholesale from the Small Business Advocate Show. How do we do that?
We have a toll-free number, which is 888-HOT-HOT-3. And then we have a website, which is redhotsales.com, and you can order it from either one, redhotsales.com or 888-HOT-HOT-3.
Okay, and now, what if we order both of them? We get a discount for that?
Well, how about a 15% discount?
I'm just having some fun with you, Paul. My audience knows. I try not to spend any more of their money than we have to. But these are good values, folks, and I've got copies of both of these books. And Paul, I want to get you back another day and talk about the first book. But I really did enjoy the current one, the one you've got out. I should say the new one. I should say, Red Hot Customers: How to Get Them and How to Keep Them. You know, we were talking about that. A minute ago, you made a comment that I agree with you on, and that is that people buy after 5 calls, and most salespeople stop after 1. And the reason is because, as you say, when someone says no or it sounds like no, and you leave, then you think, well, you know, if I go back, they're just, you know, what have I got to talk about? So you always have to be looking and searching for some reason to get yourself back in there, something new. If there's something new with your product, something new with your pricing, something especially – something new with your with the customer, with the prospect. And maybe you saw something, maybe they won an award, or maybe they were recognized for something or whatever. Any of those things are good reasons to go back, aren't they?
They are, and what I'm arguing also is that you want to have some pre-planned ones so that you don't have to wait to read about them in the newspaper. You don't have to wait for a new product introduction. You don't have to wait for anything. You know, you should be calling your prospects on a very regular basis. So what I try to do is I try to contact my top priority prospects once a quarter, my moderate priority prospects once a half year, my lower priority prospects once every 8 months. And so this way I have always something to say to them, no matter what it is that the circumstances are.
What about this? Obviously, you want to assume the sale. Obviously, when you make a call on someone the first time, you want to try to make the sale while you're there, and we all do that. We all try to train our people to do that. But what do you think about the idea of, and I guess this is maybe what you're saying, you go into the, as you approach the prospect for the first time, you're already saying to yourself, okay, there's a reasonable chance that it's going to take 5 visits, 5 calls to get this person. So I'm already preparing for my second and third visit, and that's what you were saying a minute ago. And so when they say no, you just sort of check that one off and say, okay, I've got that one behind me. Now we're that much closer to the sale.
Absolutely. And excuse me, the other thing I try to teach people in my programs and my books is to bet on the process, not on the event. And so the desperateness to close sales comes from the fact that you really don't have a lot of opportunities. And so what I always teach people to do, probably the most important thing you can do in selling and in running your business, is to focus on your pipeline so that you make sure you have lots of opportunities out there, and that way you don't have to hang your hat on every one of them. And then sales becomes much more process-oriented. Some of that urgency kind of falls off the table a little bit.
That's exactly right. If someone says no today, then you need to have someone or many someones who are in that 5th call, and they're going to say yes. And one of the things that I tell people, and I'm sure you do too, Paul, is that one prospect is no prospect.
Yep.
And so if you've got you can just extend that if you've only got a few customers out there, a few prospects out there, if you've only given one proposal this week,
yep,
then that means next week you've got only got one chance at a sale.
Yeah, and that's a very tough position to be in.
It's
We've all been there.
Yeah, it's a frightening position. The third thing that you talk about is focusing on your customers.
Yes, and this is really the whole my whole motivation for writing the book is the concept of customer focus. And so if someone were to ask me to summarize the reason I wrote Red Hot Customers in one sentence, what I would simply say is that salespeople and business owners, small business owners, they all derive their success through the success of the customer. And so if you want to be successful, what you have to really think about in business and sales is making your customer successful. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about extreme customer focus.
All right. Now, when a lot of people think, wait a minute, you know, my customers are there to make me successful. What are you talking about? Now you want me to make them successful? What's that all about?
There's a great quote in the book by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who is the author of The Power of Positive Thinking.
And exactly.
In there, he tells a story about a furniture store owner. So that would be a small business owner, and the store wasn't doing well, and the owner was very upset about it, and he goes to Dr. Peale, and he says, Dr. Peale, could you give me a few words and make me feel better because I'm on the verge of going out of business? And he was telling Dr. Peale this interesting story of a woman who comes by his furniture store every single day to look at this chair that he has in the window, and he's very frustrated. He says, why didn't she just come in and buy, because I need her money? And I'll give you the rest of it after the break.
You're gonna make us have a cliffhanger here, Paul?
Yeah. Well.
Got a cliffhanger here, folks. You're going to have to stay tuned to get the rest of that story. He heard the music. 39 after the hour, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paul Goldner is our special guest. When we come back, we're going to finish the little story that he's telling us, and we're going to ask him to talk to us about commoditization. I mentioned that earlier in the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our special guest is our new friend Paul Goldner, the author of two books I'm holding in my hand. His earlier book called Red Hot Cold Call Selling, Prospecting Techniques That Pay Off, and that book is a bestseller. It's been sold worldwide. And also the new book, which is called Red Hot Customers, How to Get Them and How to Keep Them. And both of these books are available at Amazon.com and in bookstores. And also, Paul, you've got a number and a website that you can give us that we'll get the book.
Yeah, the website is redhotsales.com, and the toll-free number here is 888-HOT-HOT-3.
And he has promised you a discount if you call that number.
And mention the show name.
Yeah, just because I'm such a nice guy and I work hard for my audience, he'll give you a discount if you buy one or both. Paul, you were telling us a little story about something that Norman Vincent Peale said.
Yeah, so anyhow, we have this furniture store owner who's on the verge of going out of business and is desperate for customers and money. Dr. Peale says, you can't think about your own needs. What you really have to do is think about your customer and think about putting your chair into her home. And so he summarizes his whole discussion with what I think is really the mission statement for all small business owners. It says, find ways of helping your customers be successful, and you'll overcome your own difficulties in so doing. And so I always argue that you have to put the customer first, and then you'll derive your success through the success of the customer.
Absolutely. And now the word success might stumble people a little bit, because if I'm selling someone a jacket or a pair of shoes or some groceries, then it's hard to apply the word success there. So we have to make sure that we define success a little more loosely than we typically do, right? I mean, success means making them happy, making them be successful in their life. And so part of the success might be that this jacket would really improve their spirits and make them look better. And the food, obviously, would make them healthy, whatever. But you see my point?
I do, but even up here, there's a fabulous grocery store that you might have read about called Stu Leonard's, and people travel from all over the area, hundreds of miles, just to shop at this one fellow's grocery store, and he's built his whole business on 2 points. And when you walk into his store, there's a huge rock that has these 2 points carved into them, and it's rule number one: the customer is always right, and then. Rule number two, if the customer is wrong, go back and reread rule number one. And I can tell you that people travel from all over, hundreds of miles, to buy milk in this guy's store at premium pricing.
How about that?
And so it works.
That's great. That's a great story. Let's move over and talk about another subject that I really think is important, and you spent a good bit of time talking about, and that's the concept of commoditization.
That's a big one, and you see this everywhere, is that people are always competing on the basis of price, and I think that's the single biggest mistake that you can make as a small business owner, is to compete on the basis of price, because if you're not going to earn a profit and a fair profit on what it is that you do, it's really not worth it to be in your own business. And so what I always try to teach people to do, and really one of the great things you get out of the book, is you get to learn on, the book tells you how to compete on other than price, how to compete on what I call the value platform.
Right.
So I don't think you can ever become successful really competing on price, because my feeling is somewhere, somehow, some way, someone will come along and be able to have a lower price than you.
20, 30 years ago, you might have been able to be a small business owner and do that, but today with the commoditization of virtually everything, I mean, I'm trying to imagine what isn't a commodity these days. Can you identify anything that's not a commodity these days?
Well, I think actually everything can either be a commodity or not a commodity, depending on how you want to position yourself. And that's what we talk about in the book, is really the choice is up to you. And so you can position your product or service as a commodity if you don't want to look at your customer's needs and you don't want to add value into the sales cycle. But to me, if you figure out what your customer's needs are and add value into the sales cycle, then nothing really has to be a commodity. And in the book, and I don't know if you remember this, I tell a story about a fellow who was selling tissues to large hotel chains. Yep. And, you know, tissues would be a great example of a commodity. And so what did this guy do? He walked around with the cleaning people figuring out how they use tissues in their business. And what he found was that cleaning people were throwing out quarter full, half full, and three quarter full boxes of tissues just to make certain there were always going to be tissues in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at a company like the Marriott Corporation or the Hyatt Corporation, if you throw out a half full box of tissues in every room worldwide, you have millions of dollars worth of tissue waste.
That's right.
So here's a guy that comes up with the idea to color code the last 16 tissues in the box, because what he learned was that the average guest uses 8.
And
so my feeling is that great business owners and great salespeople differentiate themselves on the basis of the quality of their ideas, which is one of the points that I made in the book.
Right. Find out how the customer is using your product. Find out what motivates them. Find out what they need, how they use your product to help them be successful in their own business, and make some adjustments if you need to, and add value, add service, and what I say, service your customer within an inch of their lives, and that's how you differentiate yourself. That's how you rise above the commoditization of virtually everything that we have today.
Absolutely, and so I really think you have a choice. And then that's the choice that every one of your listeners has to make, is do they want to compete on price or do they want to compete on value?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, if there's ever been a time when small business owners understand that, it's now with all the big box companies. I mean, look at all the companies all the stores out there, the big box stores that have virtually everything. I mean, I think one of these days you'll be able to have a funeral at Walmart. You know, if you think about it, you'd be able to rent an apartment or something, you know, or whatever. Who knows what they're going to come up with next. Stand by, folks. We're going to come back in just a minute with Paul Goldner. He's the author of Red Hot Customers and Red Hot Cold Call Selling, two different books. It's 50 after the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 6 principles of account maximization. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our new friend Paul S. Goldner, the author of the new book, Red Hot Customers, How to Get Them and How to Keep Them, and also his former book, which is still out and available right now, Red Hot Cold Call Selling, which we're going to get Paul back on. In fact, we schedule him later in August, the end of August, to come back and talk to us again about that book. And by the way, I want to remind you, my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for those of you who've been checking that out. I appreciate that very much. And Paul, you have a website. I'd like for you to give it to us one more time, please.
RedHotSales.com.
And the books are available at Amazon.com. They're available in bookstores. They're available from that website that he just gave you. Paul, in the end of this book, there's something called 6 Principles of Account Maximization. I'm going to read the 6 of them. I'm going to read their titles. I'm going to get you to tell us how you came about, how you found these. Principle number 1 is know your customer's business. Number 2, become part of the organization. Number 3, become a consultant. Number 4, create a good operational process. Number 5, work for the account at all levels. And number 6, leverage your relationships. How did you identify these?
Well, this was kind of interesting because we had about, right before I sold my first business, we had about 400 salespeople worldwide. And we always found that we had these 3 top performers. And so they were always 1, 2, and 3 in the company. Their order would change, but no one ever penetrated the top tier. And so what we did was we actually put these 3 top performers out of 400 people into a room. And we said, tell us what makes you successful. And then we're just going to package that and sell it back to the rest of the salespeople. And so we felt we had a pretty good lab to pull from, if you will, laboratory to pull from.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's how we came up with these 3 things. These 6 things, is that these were the 3 things that our top performers worldwide were doing. And so we really made them our guiding light for selling success.
Know your customer's business. We don't have enough time to get into all of them, but talk to us about know your customer's business.
Well, that maybe refer back to the tissue story that I told you. Here's a salesperson walking around with the cleaning people finding out how they use tissues in their business. And if you think about it, that's kind of funny. Why would a salesperson want to walk around with cleaning people? And yet, you know, here was the guy able to make a 7-figure sale on the basis of that one point alone.
Good point. Become part of the organization.
Well, you want, you know, have you ever worked with a company and the person that you're working with moves on?
Mm-hmm.
So they bring in a new purchasing agent, the old story of new broom, sweep, clean. And so here what you want to do is you want to integrate your business into every aspect of the company as much as you possibly can, so that you insulate yourself from staff turnover and you also get to learn about their business a lot better and see different applications.
How is that different from number 5, work at the account at all levels?
Well, this, you know, number two really talks about having a working it horizontally, so you're getting into different areas. And
I got you.
Number five talks about working it vertically. Because
that's more
often
vertical.
People overlook building up grassroots support.
I see what you're saying. You know, that's a really important point. I want to mention something, some experience of mine. And there's no more sick feeling than to be working with a purchasing agent and not be getting very well, very far on a project, on making a sale, and then to find out that when you thought the purchasing agent was about to do business with you, to find out that your competitor was about to get the business because they had gone, somehow they'd gotten above the purchasing agent, and they were talking to the president or the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a sick feeling when that happens.
Yeah, so you really have to, it's very hard to just put all your chips on one number, if you will. You really have to diversify a little bit.
Work horizontally and vertically. Paul, that's going to have to be the last word. Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed our visit today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll do it again real soon.
Great.
Thanks, Paul. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Paul Goldner, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Red Hot Customers, and the other book that he wrote earlier is Red Hot Cold Call Selling. I got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners like Terry, the gentleman who sent me the email. I appreciate that. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.